So we are on the very top of Gimel and Aleph. And the Gemara had been, yesterday we spent most of the time in the Mishnah that covered most of the daf, going through the 15 women that the Yibum can't be performed for because of various relationships. And by way of that, any other wife would be exempt from the Yibum Chalitza as well. And then the Mishnah, the Gemara wanted to know why the order was placed in the way it was. It should have been, if Achos Isha is the source, this is the review, the Achos Isha was the source of everything, that's we learn all of Yivamos from, that should have been the first one. And the Gemara ended up saying that no, we wanted to put Bito first, since Bito is learned out from a Drasha. We learned Bito because Achos Isha is the source that we know, we'll see in a moment, that Yibum is allowed to be done. Even though there's a rouse taking place, Bito is learned from a drasha, so since we get very excited about drashas, we wanted to place Bito first. It's very chaviv to us, the drashas of Chachamim. So the Gemara asks on the top of Gimel and Aleph, Kula nami mi drasha. So what do you mean? Bito is not the only one learned from a drasha. All of them are learned from a drasha. They all, look at Rashi, top line, tells us that Kula nami le'inyan p'tur yibum mi drasha asin mi achos isha. So just like Achos Isha, one cannot perform Yibum with his wife's sister, right? If two brothers marry two sisters and his brother dies, he can marry his brother's wife because his brother's wife is also his wife's sister. So that's the source. So all the other rayos that you can't perform Yibum with because it's another erva is learned out from Achos Isha. Not only Bito is learned out from Achos Isha, but the other 13 wives of women also are learned out from Achos Isha. They're all learned from drashas. So why are we saying Bito special? They're all learned from drashas that Yibum can't be performed. So the Gemara says, Dil'inyan Yibum asim midrasha. You're right. The fact that we apply a p'tur of Yibum, that Yibum can't be performed to a daughter and to all the other relationships, that's learned from a drasha. But what we're referring to is not how to apply the p'tur Yibum, rather, the Iker Isuraihu Behed Yaksibhu, Bito Iker Isura Midrasha. Not the application of Yibum. In general, the concept that it's also to marry a daughter, it's also to marry any of the other relationships, all of them are listed in the Torah explicitly. Bito is not listed in the Torah. And forget Yibum, just in general. If you look through the parshas of Achimos, the parshas of Kedoshim, you will not find Bito mentioned as Aser. You find Bas Bito, you find the granddaughter, but it never mentions that an erva applies to Bito. The concept of Bito is applies to erva is learned out only from a drasha, and that's why it's chaviv to us.
It doesn't say
bat ishto. No, a bat isha does, I think, actually. That's a stepdaughter, but an actual daughter.
Bat ishto can be his daughter, too.
But then, too, but the concept, the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin that ein onshim adin. You can't apply a punishment through a kal v'chomer. It's a special drasha. The three reasons why that is, just so it's obvious, if one's wife's daughter or one's granddaughter's usher to him, certainly one's daughter will be usher. Ein onshim adin. We don't apply onshim through kal v'chomer. It has to be explicit or through another drasha.
So we understand it's not allowed.
So the Gemara says, well, how do we know? The Gemara goes on to say, Damarava, Amar li Rav Yitzchak bar Avdimi. He said to me, Asya, Asya is usually the lashon of a drasha gzer shava. It says, Heina, Heina, and it says, Heina and Asya, Zima, Zima, through a number of gzer shavas. There's a decent-sized Rashi which discusses the whole limud, and the Gemara in Sanhedrin elaborates on. So we learn that Bito is Asya in general from a drasha, so therefore Bito in general is very chaviv to the Chachamim, because it's learned from a drasha. As opposed to all the other rayos, it's not learned out from drashas, so therefore it is not listed in the Mishnah. It's not the first thing in the Mishnah. Okay. So now the Gemara says, Hashta damris kol milsa da'asim midrasha chaviv alei. Now that we've established this concept, that anything that's learned out from a drasha is very chavid in the eyes of the Chachamim, so, lisnei l'achos isha levasof. So why not teach achos isha misof? So all the other ones listed in the Mishnah, okay, you're right, in terms of, we have two parshas. There's Arayos, and there's also the Ptur Yibum. In terms of the world of Arayos, they're all explicit. The only one that's a drasha is Bito. So he plays Bito first because that's Chaviv, it's a drasha. Now, in terms of the Ptur Yibum, all the other Arayos, with the exception of Achos Isha, are all learned out from drasha. So then you should have, after having Bito, which is the most Chaviv, because that's learned out from a drasha, the very concept of it, all the other ones, which are the Ptur Yibum, is learned out from a drasha, that should be the next list of 13. And then place Achos Isha last, because Achos Isha, in terms of Arayos, is explicit in the Torah.
It is.
And in terms of the Ptur Yibum, is...
It is last.
No, it's not.
Number 12 in the list.
We have 15.
Ah, totally in that.
Yeah, no, the last one, because all the other ones is the drasha. The Ptur Yibum for the other ones is all a drasha. So why not leave Achaz Isha for the last? Because that's the only one that has no drasha at all attached to it. It's explicit. It's explicitly written in the Torah that it's an erva, and it's explicitly written in the Torah that there's a Ptur Yibum. So why not save it for last?
The rest are not explicit as well.
The rest are, in terms of Arayos, it's explicit that's Usur, yeah. But the Ptur Yibum is not explicit. Okay. So then the Gemara says, Aidi de Airi b'Isser Achavsa, Tana Achaz Ishta. So the Gemara tells us, going through the order, once we got to the world of sisters, we wanted to mention Achaz Ishta. It was a good way to categorize everything. So we go down in the order of the Mishnah. So let's see, we first has Bito. Wait, did I skip the end of the line here, did I? No. Alright, so we first have Bito. So we discussed all the groupings of daughters. Bito, Bas Bino. And then Bas Isha. And then Bas Bino, Bas Bito. So we dealt with all the issues of daughters, different types of daughters. Then we discussed Chamoso, Im Chamoso, in-laws. And then we discussed sisters. Achos Meimo, Achos Imo, Achos Ishto. So once we started discussing the world of sisters, so then we started, we discussed also, we wanted to mention Achos Isha as well. That's why we didn't leave Achos Isha for the last. You're right, from the side of being the drushes or not drushes, Achos Isha should be last, but we wanted to put things in groups. So first we dealt with all the daughters, then we dealt with all the sister relationships, so that's why we threw Achos Isha in the sister discussion. So then the Gemara asks, so why not take the grouping of sisters and place that grouping last? Why does this grouping of sisters have to be after the groupings of daughters? Because then this way we could have at least Achos Ishta, which has no drasha. That could be the very last one of the 15. So Gemara says, Ella Tana Kurvi Kurvi Nakib. So the Mishnah is talking about the closest of relationships. Right? Rashi's line is, Kurvi Kurvi, Hanich the Karvle Tfei Nakibereshu. We spoke about the closest relationships first, and we built off that way. So let's see how the Gemara explains. Tana, first we taught Bito, because Bito is the closest we're going to have. The closest relationship is Bito. It's closer than a spouse, closer than a mother. We have a concept by a ben, at least, by a son. The Gemara in Erevin tells us that a ben is, I forget the exact language, but Yircha Da'av. The son is considered the thigh, the leg of a father. It's an extension of the son, of the father. A daughter also, not as much so, but still similar, a daughter is also viewed as an extension of the parent. So Bito is the closest relationship that we have. So first we have Bito, and then once talking about the world of daughters, we talk about Bas Bito, Bas Bino, the Kruve Atmo. That's viewed in interesting language of the Gemara. Kruve Atmo is viewed as the relative. It's a blood relative as opposed to a spouse, which is not a blood relative. Then, V'aydi the Tanish Shlosh Doros, so Lamata, so once we spoke about three generations downwards, right, daughter, then granddaughter, so then the Gemara says, Tana Nami Lishlosha Doros Lamata Dida. Then we discuss three generations going down from her perspective. So that would include which ones then? Sorry, what was the next one in the Mishnah? Let's see. That's why we discussed Bas Ishto. Even though Bas Ishto, his stepdaughter, is not related to him, we still wanted to go the three generations down with regards to his wife now. Bas Ishto, Bas Bina, Bas Bito. That was the next three. So we're done with six. Then the Mishnah Gemara says, now the Aidi, the Tana Shlosha Doros Lamata. So once we discuss three generations Lidida downwards from her, from his wife, Tana Shlosha Doros Lamala Dida, we spoke about three generations above from the wife's perspective, which is the mother-in-law, the father-in-law's mother, the mother-in-law's mother. That's why that's the next grouping of three. That covers nine of them. Now, next thing to discuss would be Tana Achoso Vachos Imo de Kruviatmo. Then we discuss his sister and his mother's sister, which are also his blood, Kruviatma, his blood relatives. That's the next two. And then, I did the diary of Yisra Achos. Now, once we're in the world of sister relationships, Tana Achos Isha, we discussed his wife's sister, which is also a sister relationship. That's the next three. That gives us a total of 12. Okay. And the final three that are not part of the groupings here are, the last three are, which ones? Eishes Achiv. No, I missed one. Right, Eishes Achav Mi'imo. Eishes Achav Mi'imo, which I guess is also a relationship of sisters. And then we have the final, that gives us 13, and the final two are his Eishes Achav, his sister-in-law, who is not, Shelo Hayu Ba'olamo, was not in the same world at the same time. And then the last one is Kalasa. So that's the whole organization of our Mishnah. Sorry if it was a bit confusing. Okay. Now the Gemara says, where are we? Okay. Ubedinhu de lekadme lekaloso mekame eishes achiv shlohaya ba'olamo. So it would make sense, the last two now that we have, is this Kalasa, his daughter-in-law, and a sister-in-law who was not in the same world when he was alive, he had not been born yet. It would make sense, says the Gemara, de likme Kalasa mekame eishes achiv shlohaya ba'olamo. We really should have listed his daughter-in-law before talking about not being in the same world, not being alive yet, not being born yet, with his sister-in-law. Because the concept kalaso is at least usher, his daughter-in-law is usher to him because it's a relationship. It's his son's wife. But not being in the same world yet, that's not an issue of relationships. That's just a technical reason. The pasuk says, biach balamo. So elo the idea the ayu beisir achua tane eishes achiv shloya ba'olamo. So since we're talking about the world of sisters, we mentioned also this concept of not being in the same world as your sister-in-law also, even though it's not really about the relationship. And how the Tana Kalasa, then finally at the end, we mentioned Kalasa. So that's the whole reason for organizing the Mishnah in the way it was organized. Okay. Now, as a side point, there's a Tosos here, which really starts on the previous page. I just want to pull out one line from the Tosos on the top, the very top Tosos, where you don't see the Dibra Maskil because it starts on the previous page. But if you go 1, 2, 3, three lines, three narrow lines down in that Tosos, the first word on the line is Aviv Bas Ishto. So talking about a stepdaughter. So Tosos writes here, Heicha did nichnasa l'chuppah, when a person enters a chuppah, when he marries a woman and she brings into the relationship a daughter from a previous marriage, v'lo nivala, but there's not yet bia, but there's chuppah, nir l'ri dechayv albito. At what point does his stepdaughter become usher to the father, his stepfather? Says Tosos, the moment of chuppah before bia is when there's an iser. Why? He goes on to explain that near the read the chayv abito, the afagav the ervas isha obito lo sigala ksiv, even though it's referring to one's wife and his wife's daughter, meaning his stepdaughter, it says lo sigala, which sounds like tashmish bia, the mashma bia, the svar, which makes sense to Tosos, the ain talibu bia, it doesn't depend on bia or not, the lo mechayv abas anus also. Because let's say he had raped someone and there was a daughter generated from that relationship, Alma Bekadushin Talia Milsa, so that's going to tell me that Basa Nusasa is going to be, Deholo Machayev, one is not Chayev, there's no Isser Erva on a Basa Nusasa. Because why not? There was Tashmish there. So we see it's not about. But it's through a.
He raped her, but right. It's still his daughter.
But we see from here, though, that there is no chiyuv there. The Torah says there's no chiyuv for Basa Nusasa.
What about his daughter?
His daughter, yes. But we see, so therefore it's telling Kedushin. That's his Raya. It is all about Kedushin. It's not about Bia. So he says, we see from here, Alma B'Kedushin Talimus. It's all dependent on Kedushin. When there's no Kedushin by Nusasa, then there's no Isser Erba. Fine. Now, Tosa says it all depends on entering the Chuppah. There are other Rishonim who says, no, it depends on Kedushin. Kedushin, which is the stage before a chuppah. We have Kedushin and there's Nisuin. Kedushin is Kesef Shtar Bia. You're designating a woman to be designated for you, but there's no Nisuin yet. So Tosa says, no, you need a chuppah, you need Nisuin. Other Rishonim say, no, it's all about Kedushin. But everybody agrees it's not about Bia. Okay, let's go by it now. Gemara says that Umay Yirya, now we're a little bit more than halfway down the page. Umay Yirya de Tana Poteris. Why did the Mishnah use the language of Poteris? Right, the Mishnah said to us, what was the exact language here we used? Right, the opening line, exactly. Chamesha Sre Noshim Potros Tsarosein Vitsaros Tsarosein. Why do you say they're putter from Yibum Chalitza? The Gemara says, maybe Rish says, listen, Asur Osos. It should say that it's usher to perform Yibum Chalitza. Because all the relationships mentioned are arayos, it's usher to do yibum. So Gemara says, "Itan osos." Had we said it's usher to do yibum, havamina, we would have thought usher liyavam ava michlat chalza. He would have thought osos means it's usher to perform yibum, but it would be mutter to perform chalitza, which is going to be not mutter to do kamash b'lan. Sorry, we didn't speak about chalitza. That's just basic background is that when again husband and wife. Husband dies with childless. Now, this wife has a mitzvah or yibum from her brother-in-law, her husband's brother, mitzvah yibum. Now, if they want to not, if they don't want to have Yibam, they want to end the relationship and not get married, they perform Chalita. Chalita is something where he wears a shoe, he takes off the shoe, there's a whole dialogue between each other, they talk back and forth, there's a whole text that needs to be said, and she ends up spitting in the shoe. It's her way of saying that you don't want to stand in the shoes of your brother and take over his wife and start a family. So that's how they end it, and then she's allowed to get married to whoever she wants. That's Chalita. So we have the option of doing either one. So here we say, if you would think, if the Mishnah taught Osros, not Potus, but Osros, the implication would be that Osir to perform Yibum, but to do Chalitza. Just say, you know, if it happens to be the sister-in-law is the guy's daughter, has to Yibum with his daughter, which is Osir, so obviously Yibum can't be done, but do Chalitza. Take off your shoe, have his daughter spit in the shoe. One would think that would be permitted to be done. And Kamash Vlan, no, Potros, they're completely exempt. All ties are severed. Nothing needs to be done. Not Yibum and not Chalitza. Okay. So then the Gemara says, "V'lisnei asura lachlutz." So why not simply say, "Asa to do chalitza, asa to do yibum, asa to do chalitza," and then you get around the problem. There would never be a habmina. Why just say osos yibum? Say osos yibum and chalitza. Where it says, "How can you teach osos chalitza?" My kavod. What issur would there be? Meaning, what violation? Issa Issa Yibam, we understand the Issa Yibam, to have beer with someone who's an erva, that's an Issa Deraisa. But to take off someone's shoe and spit in it, okay, you just did nothing. It was a strange thing you did. Outside the context of a mitzvah chalita, it means it's meaningless. But there's no Issa. You can't say it's Issa to take someone's shoe off and spit in it. So that's why Issa, Lashon Issa, would be inappropriate for the Mishnah.
Oh, so they're spitting in it?
Yeah. Oh. I actually, last year, I saw one. I saw a chalita.
You did?
There was a case, an older couple, that her husband died, and there was a brother-in-law, so she had no children. So I went to, there's a shul, someone told me about it in Brooklyn, I went to see it, and it was just so amazing to actually see a mitzvah like that, which is so rare, and just the whole process of the text. So the most interesting point was, when he puts on the shoe, there can't be a chatzitza, like anything else, there can't be a chatzitza. You go to the mikveh, there can't be a chatzitza. So here too, also, there can't be a chatzitza. So they had called someone up, I think he was called the Mishamish Bezdin, or a younger guy. It was an older chevro in the Bezdin. So the younger guy gets up there with a bucket of water and starts washing this guy's foot and making sure there's no anything stuck between the toes. And then the Dayanim get on the floor to make sure there's no chatzitza there. And they put the shoe, the special shoe they have to have. The truth is there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin that tells us there's actually something called Klei Dayanim. Klei Dayanim are when a Dayan has to sit in a basin, he has certain kalim he has to have available to him. And one of the kalim the Gemara lists is the shoe of the Nila. You need a whip, you need a stick to give Malkus to, and to, right, Malkus Darais is a whip, Malkus Mardus Derban is with a stick, and that'd be one other thing I'm forgetting. I think three or four things you need. So one of them is the shoe. You need their special chalitza shoe. They had a special chalitza shoe, which is like a flat sole and some leather straps that went all the way up to his knee. And they tied it, and they untied it, and they had this dialogue. They weren't from, I don't think. So they didn't know the Hebrew, so they had to say the whole thing in Hebrew, but it was transliterated, and they had to read the English translation of everything. So back and forth between each other. It was very, very interesting. Okay.
And they were not religious.
So I don't think so.
Why did they do that? It's like getting a get. If you don't do it, the woman can't get remarried.
You say, how do they know about it even?
True.
Right.
It's
right.
Pretty obvious,
unlike Khalid's. Right. Yes, I don't know. I'm not sure. Maybe someone heard about this and wanted to.
One of the family said that. That's what you need to know.
Okay. So either way, so we learned from here that you can't teach Lashon Osros because Osros would not be appropriate by Chalitza, because why is there an Isser Chalitza? You take off the shoe and spin it. Nothing wrong has been done. So Osros is inappropriate to be used in the Mishnah. So Gemara says, now, Alam Alo. Why not? Why can you use Lashon Isser by Chalitza? It's very appropriate. Because we have the concept, imata omer chaletes misya bemes. If you say Chalitza, it's going to lead you to Yibum. If we permit Yibum, people are going to say, if we permit Chalitza rather, then people are going to say, Yibum is also permitted, because those two go hand in hand. As the Gemara says, came the makam mitzvah huda sira, sara, v'shob makam mitzvah, Sharya Shemhachi Tain Potros. So how do we read this line here? So if in a makom mitzvah, let's see Rashi here, came into makom mitzvah's yibum, hu da'asira. In the context of a mitzvah to perform yibum, we permit it, but we say it's aser, tsaras habas is aser, because mefarish b'mas nisan, like the Mishnah explains, the mishapatra hakasa mizikas yibum kaimel be'eshes ach sheish labanim. Now, shalobu makom mitzvah shari, says Rashi, kigo nachu shenasa chasno, velo isha acheres, v'meis muteres isha l'chamava, k'tana kaman gavi sheish aras chamurs me'il b'mas nisan. What's this line saying here? Let's see. Okay, so again, backtrack for a second. So the Gemara asked, why can't you say asa to chalitza? Because if you don't say asa to chalitza, it would imply that chalitza is mutter. And if chalitza is mutter, that's going to lead someone to say yibam is also mutter. But we know yibam is asa by the 15 women. So you should say chalitza is asa just to ensure that people know that yibam is also asa. You're right that chalitza itself, there's no problem of doing the shoe and the spit. It doesn't make a difference. But you should say chalitza asa. This way no one should conclude that yibam would also be mutter. Say everything's asa. So Gemara says no. You don't need to do that. Why? Came into a makom mitzvah who da'asir tzara. Since in the case of a mitzvah, in the mitzvah of performing yibum, we say the tzara is asir. Again, the other wives that he has is going to be asir as well.
Tzara is mishon tzarato.
Exactly.
Tzarato is all the friends.
Right. Okay. Exactly. Now shalobu makom mitzvah sharia, but in a case where there is no mitzvah yibum. Let's see, that's the case here. And one of them is an erva. Let's try this Rashi again. Let's read Rashi. Shalom makom mitzvah sharia. When there is no mitzvah yibum, you would think it's pater, it's mutter, chalitza, the tsar rather. Kevan dinach, shaki go nachri, shenasa chasna. A nachri who becomes his son-in-law. Velo isha, and he has a cheres, another wife, umes, and the son-in-law dies. Muteres ishto luchamav. So his wife should be permitted to the father-in-law, or the father should be permitted to the daughter-in-law.
The only reason he's not is because he married his daughter.
But this is not a case of yibum. This is not a case of yibum, though.
Right.
It's not a sister-in-law of his. It's a daughter-in-law. So we're saying that.
Right. It wasn't through a brother who married his sister, a daughter. It was through a man from the street who would have married his daughter and had a co-wife with that daughter. That wouldn't have prohibited the tzara. It's only because it's through the context of Yibum why the co-wife is prohibited.
Right, so we're saying now that since in the case of a mitzvah Yibum, when it's a brother who marries his daughter, we say the brothers, otherwise all the tzaras are usher. So you may think that in a case where it's not a brother who marries his daughter, but a random guy marries his daughter, you might think the other tsaros should be permitted. His son-in-law, who now died, but his son-in-law's otherwise, would be permitted to the father.
They are. It's not just you think. They are, in fact, permitted in that case.
So how we answer, what's the shock of attire now? How's the answer?
So since the tsara is only asur b'makom mitzvah, but had it not been a makom mitzvah, this woman, who's just a woman from the street, would have been permissible to him had she married his son-in-law who had married his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we use the lashon of poter, because it poters his potential relationship with that woman. It frees his potential relationship with this tzara.
Let's see how Rashi says that. Mishum hachitayim potos. Now, because of that, Rashi, because that we use lashon potos, because the itana osos, if you use the language of osos, mashma, that would imply shehabas osarta alav likach v'kavach omer shel b'makom mitzvah. It would sound like the daughter asers, always asers other wives that this guy might have. And not only in the case of a makom mitzvah, But you might even think in the case of Shalom Malka Mitzvah, if the daughter marries a random guy, it should aser all the other wives. That's what the Lashon Osos would imply. Avah, but now that the Mishnah uses the Lashon of Potro, says Rashi, Lo Mishtame Osos Isur Mishim Tzaras HaShabbas, the Isur does not flow from the being the Tzar of Abbas. That's not where the Isur comes from. El Abbas Potart Mibum, it's the daughter that exempts from Mibum. The Isur Shachavala. So that's the question. Does the daughter aser the taros, or does it simply exempt the p'tur yibum? So Osa sounds like it asers other wives, a Reuven, and Kamashon, it doesn't aser. It just p'tur is yibum. But when there's no yibum there, when she marries some other random guy, there's no yibum, then there's no effect on the other taros that are there. Okay. Fine. Then the Gemara says, my irya, titani min chalitza min yibum. Why does the Gemara say, does it present the pater from chalitza and the nibum? Listening min nibum l'chudei. Just say, their pater, the 15 women in the Mishnah, are pater from nibum. Why say chalitza and nibum? Just say pater from nibum. So the Gemara says, because itana min nibum. If it only said nibum, hava mina, michletz chalitza, yivum lo miyavme. You would think, nibum can't be performed, but chalitza may be performed with the 15 wives. Kamash Malam, we teach both Yibum and Chalitza are both in Marpater. As the Gemara quotes a line, it's Kola Ola Yibum Ola L'Chalitza. Anybody who Yibum can be performed with, Chalitza may be performed with as well. However, Chol Shein Ola Yibum Eina Ola L'Chalitza. Anyone who Yibum cannot be performed with, Chalitza may not be performed with either. That's the klal. Yibum and Chalitza always go hand in hand. Yeah? Both of them have to be options. Either they're both options or neither one are options. Now, there's a Rashi here to look at. Rashi says the five lines from the bottom, Hava Mina Michlatz Chalza. So Hava Mina Michlatz Chalza, Shiloh, you would think that if it only said Yibum, the Mishnah, that you're part from Yibum, there would have been a Hava Mina, that Chalitza would be permitted. Shiloh Lafkim, it says Yibum. So you should think Chalitza is there in order not to completely knock out Yibum. About Yibum alone, but you can't do Yibum, exerts a cost of the litzur to technical reasons. But there is still some type of zika there, some type of relationship that has to be severed through chalitza. But Yibum's a pater from Aser because of technical reasons. Kamash Malam, we learn from here that Masnizin hold both pater, habas, mizikas, Yibum, p'tur min chalitza. Once the daughter is exempt from the connection to her father from Yibum, also she's disconnected in terms of chalitza as well. Says Rashi, very important line. So Rashi has this implicit question. If we're saying that chalitza and yibum always go hand in hand, you either could do either one or you can't do either one. So why do you have sometimes gemaras that tell us that you should do chalitza but not do yibum? Like the last line of our Mishnah had that line. You do chalitza but you can't do yibum. But why? They always either do both or neither one should be an option. The Rashi said that's always where there's a case of a suffix. Whenever there's a case of a suffix, that's when we say, do chalitza to be safe, but don't do yibum also to be safe. Now, Rav Yeager points to Gemara later on, which, if you look there, tells us that, no, even lechatchila, you have situations where you do chalitza without yibum, not even in a case of suffix. So there's a discussion in the Achronim that there are really two types of p'tur yibums, without getting to evolve right now, but there's certain yibums that are pater, and in certain situations where Yibum's usr. In a case where Yibum's putter, there's no chalitza either. In a case where Yibum's usr, but there is really there's a zika there, but we don't allow Yibum to take place, so then there is a chalitza. So the example Gemara talks about, exactly, shnios, like a kohen gadol and a almana. So let's say a kohen dies, and his brother-in-law, the live brother-in-law, is a kohen gadol. So the Kohen's wife is now an almana, but Kohen Gadol can't marry an almana. This is a lav, not an araya, but not an erva, but a lav. So Kohen Gadol has a chi of zika there, but there's an isser lav that gets in the way of performing yibum. So he can't do yibum, so he does chalitza instead. That's not a case of suffolk, it's a case of l'chachila. That's the difference of a isser yibum, where there's chalitza still, versus a p'tur yibum, where there is no. Okay. Then the Gemara says, four lines in the bottom of Gimel and Aleph, V'lisnei min ha'yibum or min chalitza. Why is the order the chalitza yibum? I think it's the Mishnah at the end of the first Bekar B'choros tells us that it's a mitzvah to the yibum over chalitza. So if the mitzvah of Yibam is over Chalitza, Chalitza is just, if they don't want to do Yibam, then do Chalitza. But the ideal thing is to step in the shoes of your brother and do Yibam. So why not teach Yibam and then Chalitza? Why does the Mishnah say Chalitza and then Yibam? Inami, or the Mishnah should have said, Min Chalitza l'chudai? Or simply say Chalitza and don't mention Yibam at all. So Gemara says, who authored our Mishnah? Abba Shal hi, damer mitzvah Chalitza kodemis l'mitzvah Yibam. Abba Shal argues on the Chachamim that no, he thinks Chalitza his act takes precedent to that Yibam. If you have the option, we really encourage one to do Chalitza, according to Abishal, not to do Yibam. Why? Isn't a mitzvah of Yibam is a wonderful thing? So look at Rashi in the bottom, Abishal, he, two lines in the bottom, Abishal, he, Beperka Chalitz, Kaman, Lam, Testament, Beis, Abishal, Omer, Hakones, Yibamto, someone who enters a relationship, Bia, with a Yibam, Yavam, Lashum Noi, for enjoyment, Lashum Ishus, Kilu pogea be'erva v'karav be'ein aliyosu havlad mamzer. You're not doing the right intentions. You're supposed to do it to continue the name of your brother. It's not l'shma. You're doing it for hana. You're doing this for it's pogea be'erva, says the Rashi. So Abishal argues on the Chachamim. Now what comes out here is the big discussion in the Rishon. The Ramban says this is an iser deraisa, and we see from here mitzvah sichas kavana. What, he did a mitzvah? He did a mitzvah of bia. So here we clearly see mitzvah tzichas kavana, because otherwise we pass mitzvah ain't tzichas kavana. Who cares his kavana? Who cares lishma lemaisi? He did the maisi mitzvah. You'd be yotze. So says the Ramban here, we see that mitzvah ain't tzichas kavana. There is a Mishnah that you might also Gemara Baba Kama quotes that says
mitzvah ain't tzichas kavana.
We see mitzvah tzichas kavana, because if we say mitzvah ain't tzichas kavana, who cares the guy's kavana? Lemaisa, he had the mitzvah of Yibam. He did bia, so that was a mitzvah. Who cares if his kavana was off or not off? So he says from here, we see mitzvah enos tzichas kavana. Now it's a discussion whether that means in general or maybe specifically by Yibam you need kavana. Now we paskin typically by the discussion whether you tzichas kavana or not tzichas kavana, that by deraisas we strongly encourage someone to have tzichas kavana, like shma deraisa. Mitzvah derbanan, we're more makil by tzichas kavana. Now, one mitzvah coming up, that the three mitzvahs that you have to have kavana, lichachila, to be yotzi, you need to know the tam, you need to know the reason also, even further, sukkah is one of them. It's coming a week, sukkah, you're supposed to have in mind, we sin the sukkahs because we sukkahs mamish, they sat in sukkahs in Midbar, and Anani HaKavod, to remind us Anani HaKavod, you're supposed to have those intentions, says the Torah. But generally speaking, it's enough to have kavana of I'm performing a mitzvah, not necessarily the tam, whatever. Now, that's the Ramban. The Ramban says it's real requirement deraisa, according to Abba Shaul, it's a requirement deraisa to have the kavana of performing yibam. Other Rishonim say that no, it's only an iser derabanan. You don't need tzrichas kavana, but the Ritva writes it's only iser derabanan to have the proper kavana according to Abba Shaul even. Okay. Then the Gemara says the bottom of Gimel and Aleph, minyana deraisa lemutei mai, minyana deseif lemutei mai. The Gemara asks this question a number of times. When the Mishnah tells us a number 15, why 15? We know how to count. I could go through and count 15. So the need to mention the number was clearly to exclude a 16th number. What was the 16th number that's not part of the Mishnah? So the Gemara says, Lemu'ute, to exclude the Rav Udravasi. According to, they had the Shita about something. They wanted to include another scenario that also would be Pater. We're excluding their scenario. What's their scenario? So look at the top Rashi in the page, Gimlam and Beis. It says, the Rav Udravasi, the Amar Rav, Saras Sota Asura. A tsara of a sota is asar as well. What's a tsara sota? Says Rashi. Shim zinsa ishto. Reuven has a wife, and his wife is mizana. Velo isha cheres. And he also has another wife. Mace below banim. He dies without children. Shteim paturos. Both of them are pater. So his wife, who is zinsa, is called the sota. So the case of sota is where a woman is speculated of having mizana with another man. So here was a case. Not quite a sota, but really, I think she was accused. She was also found guilty of znus. So he's married. His wife is usher to him now. She's an ashes ish, and she's with another man. She's usher. Not only is she usher for Yibam, also any other wife, any other tzara is usher as well. So that's Rav's case of what would also be included. Our Mishnah says, no, that's not true. If a person has a sota, married to a sota, the tzaros would be mutter. Tzaros sota does not apply according to our Mishnah, only according to Rav. And what's Rav Asi's case? Rashi continues. Rav Asi is Amar Taras Eilonis Asura. An Eilonis, if he's married, if Reuben's married to an Eilonis who can't have children and has the whole, all the details, whatever makes an Eilonis, his other wives also, according to Rav Asi, would also be Pater Midin Taras Eilonis. Our Mishnah thinks otherwise, Taras Eilonis would be Mutter to the Yavam. Okay, we're good.
So when did Tzara and Asura again?
Sorry.
When did Tzara and Asura?
Only the 15 listed in the Mishnah. Our Mishnah does not
this
list.
This is the case, and he has other women. They're not evil.
Exactly. Tzara Sota is not listed in the Mishnah, so Tzara Sota would be Mutter. And Tzara's Islandness is also not listed in the Mishnah, that would also be Mutter. Okay. I thought you were going to ask a question.
No, I'm just thinking, the Sota herself is going to be Usher, right? I mean, he's not going to be able to, the brother is not going to be able to marry the Sota.
Correct.
So despite not being able to marry one, it's still possible that he could be even one the other.
Right. Same thing with the Islandess. Islandess also, it's Usher to marry. The person can't marry an Islandess. Actually, can. No, you can. Right. Yeah, I'm not sure that the Gemara discusses this. Maybe it must discuss this. I don't know why. So let's see. So Gemara said, okay, so that's what the number 15 comes to exclude, these cases of Rav and Rav Asi, Tsar Sultan and Tsar's Islandess. So Gemara says, now, what about, according to Rav Asi, the Rav and Rav Asi, what about they themselves, who have a list of 17, or at least 16 and 16, maybe 17, what does 15 exclude for them? So again, according to Rav, he thinks Tzara Sota is also something that's Aser. So 15 must be excluding something else that's Mutter, that's not included in the Aser. What is that? So Gemara, what?
To them.
Exactly, to them. Now, Yisrilhu Dehadadai, if they both agree to each other, that they don't argue, they both agree that Tzara Sota and Tzara's Islandess would also be a scenario of Aser. So now they have a total of 17 women. If they both agree to each other, so Chad El Muta Tzaras Memenes. So one of them comes to exclude the Tzaras Memenes, where this was a katana, we said, that got married by her brothers or mother. And she didn't mean. She refused the marriage under the age of Gedola. So any other wives that the husband may have had would not be included. And Chad El Muta Tzaras Machse Grushaso. And the other one is a Tzara Machse Grushaso. What's a Machse Grushaso? Machzik Ushasu is if a man gets married and he gets divorced, and this woman, his ex-wife, gets married to another man, and then her new husband dies, Now his ex, she remarries her ex-husband. That's Machzik Ushasu. A person can marry his ex-wife unless she gets married with someone else in the interim, but if not, so again they're married. Divorce, they can remarry. But if divorced, she remarries someone else, then they can't get remarried.
You sure that if she remarried, he can remarry her again?
Yes, unless she marries someone else in the middle.
She just did, you said.
No, if she does divorced. Not remarry, if they got divorced and then got remarried right afterwards, that's mutter. Only if she gets divorced, remarries somebody else, then she can never go back to her first husband. So that case, let's say he does anyways. He's mach shikusha, so he violates the iser, and he has other wives also, and then he dies. We don't say now his brother-in-law can't marry, his brother can't marry the Machzik Hushaso, but he can marry the other Tsaros. That's the case it's coming to exclude. Tsaros Machzik Hushaso is mutter.
It's strange because our Mishnah specifically stated that the case of Tsara, where she's Nimsu Islandess or Omianu, the Mishnah explicitly said in those cases that Tsara is saying is mutaros.
That's what I thought you were going to ask before. So you're saying, why is it coming to exclude that? That's the Mishnah's clearly saying that. Yeah, I was wondering that also. I'm not sure. Okay, then the Gemara says, now, vi lo sri lehu hadadei, let's say Rav and Rav Asi do not agree with each other. They're mutually exclusive. So then we say, very easy, chal mutei dechavrei, one v'chal mutei, so one excludes his other one they don't agree with, Rav excludes Rav Asi's case, Rav Asi excludes Rav's case. And Chad El Muta, the other one, excludes the Otsaris Memenes, Otsaris Machzik Grushaso. Is either excluding the case of Memenes or excluding the case of Machzik Grushaso. And now, fine. That's how we deal with all the different exclusions. And finally, Gemara says, L'Rav L'Rav Asi L'Snenu. So why not teach their cases? If Rav Rav Asi think there's a 16th and a 17th scenario, so why not have them listed explicitly in the Mishnah? The fact that they're not listed in the Mishnah, does that not tell us that they're wrong? It should have listed Tzara Sota as a 16th. It should have listed Tzara Islandess as a 17th. So the Gemara says, for technical reasons it didn't list it, because Lefish Eino B'Tzara Tzara. For whatever reason, the case of Tzara Sota and Tzara Islandess, even though the Tzaros are Aser, Saros, the secondary levels of Saros, those do not apply to Islanders and to Sota. They only apply to the 15 women listed in the Mishnah. It therefore would not fit well in the other list on the Mishnah. That's why it was left off the list.
What's the case of Sarah Tzara that she died, and then Sarah, there's another Tzara that comes after that Tzara?
That,
why would the Tzara not be her Tzara also? In other words, what's the case of Tzara Tzara that's not also?
So Reuven dies, and Reuven has, let's say Reuven married Bito, Shimon's Bito. So Shimon, Reuven, and Reuven marries Shimon's Bito, and he has other Tzaros. Shimon dies. So Reuven can't marry Bito, certainly, and can't marry Tzara's Bito. Let's say Tzara's Bito now marries Levi.
Another marries another brother.
And has other Tzaros. Levi dies. Reuven and Shimon can't marry Tzara's Bito and Tzara's Tzaros as well. Okay. Then the Gemara says, smiles at us. Then the Gemara says, Menachin Emile. Menachin Emile. How do we know all these halachas we're discussing? What are the sources of these very interesting halachas that we're discussing? Gemara says, the Tanur Rabban, the Braisa tells us, Isha elachosa lo sikach litzror legalos ervasa alea b'chaya. That's the whole pasuk. A wife and a sister, you cannot take a wife and a sister. Litzura, it creates this competition, the sibling rivalries. Legalos erva, aleha b'chaya. Aleha matamalor, what's the word aleha? It's a very strange word, aleha. Aleha matamalor, what do you learn from the word aleha? Lefishneimar, because it says, by yavama, yavo aleha, a yavam should ba aleha, should have tashmis with her, with the yavama. Shemea ni afil ba'achas mikal ra'as ha'morsh b'tara. Hakasim medaber. I would think from the pasuk about Yibam alone that he should perform Yibam, even if it's one of their rivals, even if it's a daughter, even if it's a granddaughter, you should perform Aras across the board. Yevama, Yevala, across the board. All the mitzvah is always there. So the Gemara tells us no, because Ne'emar kan Aleha, V'ne'emar lahalan Aleha. It says Exer Shava, it says the word Aleha by Yibam. It says Aleha by Achos Ishta, by his wife's sister. Ma lahalan b'makam mitzvah, af kan b'makam mitzvah. So just like Yibam is talking about a case of makom mitzvah, the mitzvah of Yibam only, a sister-in-law is only permitted in the case of a mitzvah, so to the iser of Achas Isha applies even in the case of a mitzvah. So it's not true, the mitzvah of Yibam, right, it's a little bit of a strange kavachomer. That, again, the case of Yibam, by definition, is always a sister-in-law, which is aser, in general. So just like the word aleha, Yibam is permitted, we permit sister-in-law in the context of aleha, in the context of a mitzvah, so too, when Achos Isha, a wife's sister's aser, it's aser also in the case of aleha, also in the case of a mitzvah. Meaning, even when there's a mitzvah, even though there's a mitzvah Yibam, there still exists an iser of Achos Isha, of a wife's sister. So we see that there is an iser arayos, it's not, Yibam's not permitted across the board. It's aser when there's arayos there, with the exception of a sister-in-law. Because that's the definition of Yibam. But other than the sister-in-law, all other, a wife's sister, and all other Arayos would be Aser. That's how we know it's Aser in the case of Arayos. Again, so read that one more time, that Ma lahalam b'makom mitzvah, just like Yibam is permitted only in the case of mitzvah, Afkam b'makom mitzvah, also the discussion of Achos Isha, wife's sister, is in the case of mitzvah, and yet still, Amarachmana, the Torah still tells us, Lo sikach, don't marry her. It's also to marry her, even though it's talking about, even though there might be a situation of a mitzvah vibam. Whereas, Ainli Elohi, I only know that there's an Isser for her herself, that if it, the sister-in-law happens to be his daughter, or another one of the Rayos. Tzaros Munayin, how do I know the other Tzaros, the other wives that his brother might have, would be Asir as well? Tamaloma Litzror, Litzror, all the other Tzaros, all the other competitors that his wife had had, all the other wives that his brother had had. Now, Ainli Ella Tarasa, I only know the Tarasa, that first level of Tsaros. How do I know Tsarasa, the case we just spoke about before, where it's a secondary, another removal, another layer of Tsaros? Minayin, how do I know that's Aser as well? Tamalomar, Litsur, Velo Litsur. It should say Latsur. What's Litsur? The double Lashon of the double Resh there. That tells me something further. Not only the first layer of Tsaros, but even the second layer of Tsaros would be prohibited as well. Vainli Ella Achos Isha. Isha, I only know from the Pasuk of wife's sister would be Asher to Yibum. Shar Arayos Minayin. How do we know other Arayos? Wife's sister, right? His brother's, the live brother, Shimon's wife's sister. Two brothers married two sisters. Ruin dies. So you can't marry your wife's sister. How do we know other Arayos would be Asher as well? Says the Gemara. Minayin Amrs. Ma Achos Isha. Myuchadesh. Shihi Erva. V'chayav imala al zedona karas v'ashkagas echatas v'asul yavam. Just like a wife's sister is unique in that it's an erva, and there's a chi of kares for doing it on purpose, and there's a chi of chatas if done b'shogeg, and yet still usher to yavam. Af kol shehi erva, so to any other scenario where there's an erva. And erva is a definition of anything listed in the Parsha Achimos. And chayav malav zedona karis, with the zechi of karis for doing a bemezid. And ashkagas achatas, and for doing shogi, the zechi of katas. Asul yavam. All those other aras are also asur to yavam. Then the Gemara says, Vein li ela hain. I only know that the other aras apply, the isser applies to other aras. How do I know the Tzaroseyan Minayin? How do I know the other Rayos and their Tzaroseyan are also included in this Isser? Says the Gemara, Minayin, Amris, right, Minayin, Amris, Ma'achos Isha, Miuchadesh, She'erva, V'chayav, Malav, Zedona, Karis, V'shkagas, Achatas, V'suliyavam, V'teras, Asura. Just like a wife, sister, all those different details apply, and the Tzar Asa is Asa as well. Af Kol, She'erva, so to all other rails, the terasa will be included as well in the iser. From here we learn that Amru Chachamim, Chamesh Esrei Nashim, Protos Tzarosein, V'Tzaros Tzarosein, Minachlita, Minayibam, Ad Tofolim. From here we learn, this is the source of our Mishnah, that these 50 women are also not only them, but are the Tzarosein and the Tzaros Tzarosein Ad Olam. Then the Gemara says, Yachol Shanimar Be'af Shesh Arayos Chamurus, Meilu. So maybe I'm going to think that the six arayos that are more chamer than the ones listed, that they should be tzarosein asur, should be asur as well. So which six cases are these? Me'achiv me'aviv?
Al achiv me'aviv. For about his brother from his father.
Okay, brother from his father.
Whoever is married to his brother from his father, which I don't know what are the six cases you can have, is also as well.
Oh, this talking about the case, right, not a case of Yibum. Let's, as we discussed this earlier, that let's say...
someone marries your daughter.
Right.
And then they sorry to your
daughter. Right. So let's say here the case. Forget Yibum. Reuven has a son, Shimon. Yaakov has a son, Reuven. Better. Yaakov and Reuven. Yaakov and Reuven. Reuven marries a lady, okay. Rachel. Yeah. Now, and Reuven has other...
That's not a son.
No.
Just a random man.
Right. Reuven, sorry, Yaakov has a daughter. Yaakov has a daughter. Reuven marries... Reuven marries...
The daughter.
Yeah.
Or Yaakov has a mother. Or Yaakov has any relative who some random man from somewhere comes and marries. And marry someone else along with that person.
Right, so Reuven has multiple wives. Reuven marries the daughter of Yaakov and other wives. So you would think, just like Yaakov obviously can't marry his daughter, you would think maybe all the other wives of Reuven should be usher also.
To whom?
To Yaakov, the father.
But what a connection to Yaakov.
Because Yaakov... Yaakov's daughter married Reuven. So just like his daughter is obviously usher, but now he's married to Reuven, maybe through that connection to Reuven, all other Reuven's wives should be connected through to Yaakov. Make a whole circle. All Tzaros, we may view Tzaros as like a unit. Just like one. So we say no.
Another case like, okay.
Exactly. So we know, right now we've been talking about Givam cases where there's a brother-in-law. So you might think maybe all other cases of Arayos that we should view them as Tzaros and then let's say Reuven dies or he divorced one of the other Tzaros.
Yaakov is not the one of the other ones.
Exactly. So one might think.
Unconnected to Yibum?
Unconnected. Exactly. Right.
What is it? Is it allowed or not allowed?
So the Gemara said, let's see. The Gemara says, Yachal, you might think Shani Mar Be'af Shesh Arayos Chamurus Me'ilu. You might think to include these other cases Arayos, like we just said, She'af She'ihu Tzarosein Asurus, that also the Tzaros should be Asur. You would think they should be Asur to Yaakov. Amrish Gemara says, Ma'achos Ishto Miuchadesh She'erva Mechayavim Al Zidon Kares Vashkagas Achadas Vashali Nasa Lachim Vashul Yabam the Tzaros Asura. Af kol she erva v'chaim el hazudun hakaris v'ashkagas achadas v'evshali nasa lachim v'asul yavam t'rasa sura. Has to be similar to the case of Yibam, yatsu elu, yatsu the sheish arayos, the case that we just created, chamuros me'elu, hold e'evshali nasa lachim t'rasa mutaras she'en t'ar elamach. So, the basically what he's saying is that only by a case of Yibam, where there's this relationship of brother, that Yibam, it do Tsaros apply. When there is no Yibam case, with no issues of brothers, then the issues of Tsaros does not apply, and he would be therefore, Yaakov can marry any of the Tsaros of Reuven. So Gemara says now, Azhara Shimano. Okay, we learned Azhara. We learned that the source, that it's a lav, one may not do this. Right, do what?
Chotisha.
You're right. Okay, Achos Isha and any other Arayos and the Tsaros. That's Asher to the Yibam by any of those cases, but whenever there's an Erva, that's Asher. We learn the Azhara. Onesh Minai, how do you know you get a punishment? Because the Torah tells us, the Chazal tells us, you always need a pasuk for the Azhara, you also need a separate pasuk for the Onesh. One for the warning, one for the punishment. Where's the Onesh learned out from? So Amar Kura, the pasuk tells us, Kikol, let's get the pasuk right because there's a parenthesis here. Where's that pasuk here? Kikol Asher Yaseh Mikol HaToivos HaElu HaElav Nichsu Nefashos HaOsos Mekarev Amam. So this is the end of the pasuk of Achrimos, which includes all their riles are subject to the punishments of Kares. How do we know this applies to Yibam, though? Let's see. So the way it's explained is that the end of Achrimos, this concluding pasuk, includes groups together all the riles. Even though the pasuk in Achrimos lists them all like separately, this pasuk puts them all under the same category. And in that, one of the discussions are that's Aser when it comes to Achos Ishto, it's Aser. And also Litzor is included, Achos Ishto is Tsaros. So too, from this pasuk, all the other riles have all the same halachas learned out from Achos Ishto. We're taking Achos Ishto, that's just like it's also to marry a wife's sister through Yibam, and her Tsaros, we're taking that concept through this last pasuk, including all the riles in these halachas of Erva and Tsaros. Okay, so maybe we'll stop here, because this next discussion goes well into the next daf. Get to the big discussion, one of the most famous discussions of Esei Docha Lo Sase. Okay, let's just do a quick review. I'm not sure there's much to do. What? Exactly. Exactly. So we'll do a quick review here.
You know why Esei Docha Lo Sase?
I have a Yira.
Why?
Okay, why?
Because in Ayin, that's what the Tanya says, that in Mitzvah Taseh, each mitzvah represents kivyachol an eva of the Kadosh Baruch Hu Ramach Evare de Malka, like the Zohar says. So the same way that the nefesh send the chius to each of our body, meaning the eye to see, the ear to hear, whatever. So same thing, every mitzvah is a continuation of chius of light from that, you know, give the chius to that eva. So if you're not doing that mitzvah, you have the opportunity to do an ase, and you're not doing an ase, so you're missing that light, which, if you miss the opportunity, you cannot have an opportunity to bring back the light. You missed it. So that's why, in that aspect, it's more chamur than lotase. Lotase, it's not just an aseh of the isur, meaning it's the derech shlila. So there's nothing going on beside the isur, beside Tzatzon Hashem.
You don't bring darkness to that Ezra?
Ma?
When you do a lav, don't you bring darkness to the eva that you do the lav?
You do. You're taking it to tuma. When you overload ase, but you do not have that inyan of the chius of the eva. Obviously, you're taking that to tuma. That's different inyan. But with, so that's why it sounds
very esoteric.
Very what?
Esoteric.
What is it?
This is things hard to understand.
The Ramban al Torah says the reason why is because ases are ahava, and loses is yira, and ava is always docha yira. Ava is more important than yira. When you have the two come together, ava trumps the yira. Okay.
I think we should avoid the reviews.
Yeah.